Welcome to the Grace Life Podcast, hosted by Grace Life Church in Alabama. We're glad you've taken a moment to listen today. If you'd like to get in contact with us, our Facebook page and our website are linked in the show notes. We believe as you listen to the Word of God today that you will be blessed and that your life will be changed. Let's join the service already in progress in the sanctuary with Pastor West.
If it was his birthday, you couldn't buy him nothing that he doesn't already have or couldn't get for himself. But what you can give him willingly is praise and honor. We give you praise and glory and honor. You are good. You are so very good. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, he's here. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, who's that with arthritis this morning? You're dealing with a bit of arthritis or bursitis. Who's that? Glory to God. Who's that? One, two. Anybody dealing with arthritis? One, two. All the writers, brothers. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Now, I quote our friends several times. He hadn't been here in a few years to minister, but Joe Morris always said something I always thought it's kind of funny, but really drives a point home. He said, you know, God, if he had these things, he could have gave them to you. Yeah. I don't think he has these. He said, but if he did have them, he said he didn't have to send Jesus. He could have sent his cousin, his nephew, or his bird dog, but he didn't. He sent Jesus. He sent his best. See, no one questions the will of God if someone were to walk in the door, no matter what their situation, no matter what they look like, how much into the world they have been. If they come in even a drunken stupor, they wanted to give their heart to God. How many of you believe 100% that God wanted to save them? Yes. Yes. Isn't that something, how we're convinced of that? And we should be. Yes. But someone comes in and they got a limpy leg, sore throat, you know, got a little something deformed at birth. They say, well, it's the will of God. You say, well, I don't know about that. Then we want to tag, if it be thy will. Well, Jesus said this. He said, they said, how do we pray, Lord Jesus? He says, well, this is how you pray. Now, this is a model for us to pray today. It's been fulfilled in the fact that the kingdom's already come. But he prayed that the will of God on earth would be done in heaven.
That's right.
I mean, there's nothing gimpy in heaven going on.
That's right.
No sickness or disease in heaven. You know why? Because the will of God is being enforced.
That's right.
Glory to God.
Thank you, Jesus. It's never popular to do it at funerals because, you know, we don't put anybody in a bad light, but people say, well, God took them. Well, he only took two people.
That's right.
Those people he took alive.
That's right.
Everybody else he received.
That's right.
Right? So if he takes you, you'll be alive when he takes you. Huh?
Amen.
So really, a lot of things we call the will of God is just something that we weren't doing when we weren't standing in our own authority.
That's right.
The question was asked in the book of Psalms. He says, what is it about man that God is so mindful of mankind? Why is it that God is so enamored with this creation of his, that he has crowned him with such glory and honor and favor and success? What is it that God sees in him? And he's put that in you. He's invested that into you. The Bible says that Jesus was on the same rank as the Father, but Jesus did not think of that status to be equally, you know, he didn't cling on to that. He freely, and of his own right, he laid his life down.
Amen.
He became that of a servant to mankind. He became a human being. Now, you're talking about going from God to human? Would you want to give that status up? How would you like to be created the heavens and earth and the next day be born in Jemison? Oh, I'm sorry. You're from Hoover? Oh, I'm sorry. The greater Bessemer area. I'm sorry. No. But he said because he humbled himself and became obedient to the cross, then God, he raised him up. Because he humbled himself so low, God raised him up to a heavenly status and being and has given him a name that at the name of Jesus, someone say Jesus.
Jesus.
Say Jesus like you mean it.
Jesus.
Say it about three times.
Jesus.
We don't get enough Jesus preached in church anymore. Now we're talking about success and having a good day and having a better day and a new day and all that kind of stuff. And I'm for a better day than a worse day. But that Jesus didn't come to give you a better day. A better day. The gospel's got reduced to a better day. Right? Turning a new leaf over. The Lord didn't come to give you a better life. He came to kill you.
That's right.
He ain't giving you a better you. That's the problem with us is us. He didn't come to fix you up. He came to murder you, kill you, take you out. Huh? To make you a new man in Christ Jesus. Old things passed away. All things have become new. Where's the better you in that? There is no you in the gospel. It's him. In the life that we now live, we live by the faith of the Son of God. So it's not even you. It's him. So how dare arthritis, bursitis, any of the itis brothers or cousins attack the very temple of God? For that to get on your body was Jesus redeemed with his own precious blood and the stripes he took upon his back. Those are no more than invaders, which are holy, which are trespassers on the holy ground of God. So in Jesus' name, I arrest all the arthritis and the bursitis in this room. In Jesus' name, from whom it resides in those bodies right now, I command you in Jesus' name to loose that person and let them go in Jesus' name. Hinder them no more. Go in Jesus' name. And the life of God begin to flow into them in Jesus' name. And for those who are watching on the web and on the internet who are watching at this time or at a different season, there's no time or distance in the spirit. So I speak to you where you're sitting and where you're watching from. In Jesus' name, by his stripes you were healed. You are healed from the crown of your head to the soles of your feet. You are the property and the creation of God Almighty. And you are created to walk in fullness of this life. In Jesus' name, I declare you whole and freed in Jesus' name. Be healed in Jesus' name right now. In Jesus' name. Come on, give him praise. We give you glory and honor and praise. In the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Well, I think I want to go up here and preach. I want to be a little bit closer to God. About 16 inches closer. That'll be great. Thank you, sir. But don't drink my water. Okay. Praise God. Well, God is good. Man, it's good to see Corey got a smile on him. That's God's winning smile. Thank you, sir. And he got that winning smile. And it's good to see JR. JR is still working out. But listen, like the ball is round, this thing is going to come full circle for you. And as the shape of the field is a diamond, you'll shine as God's diamond. And your name will be known. God swears his oath to you. It will be better than you ever would have. If you would have write it for yourself, you wouldn't write it this good. Joseph was in prison for 13 years. That's not the time for you. But he was there 13 years with a dream and God brought him out. Because he was saved. Now he didn't break out of jail. It was the gift of God in us, the Bible says, that makes room for us. Yes. And God has gifted us all, each one individually. And he was able to interpret the king's dream. It started back in the prison, didn't it? When he had the baker and the butler and the undertaker and all them guys and three men in a tub and scrub-a-dub-dub and all this kind of fun. He gave two words. They both was correct. One, God's going to restore you. Two, you're going to die. I don't like the other guy. I wouldn't have been too excited about that. But here it is. And God's word will be good. Anytime you ever find the word in the Bible says it shall come to pass, always mark it down because it shall come to pass. Psalms 139, if you will. Psalms 139. I'm glad that you're here this morning. Amen. Are you glad you're here?
Yes, amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. God is alive.
Yes, he is.
Are we live?
Yes.
Are we live?
Yes.
We're live. We're live on Facebook. Are we live here?
Yes.
Amen.
We got a few that's not alive. We need to go to another chapter about, see, raise the dead, raise the dead, raise the dead, raise the dead. Now, we don't need to raise everybody from the dead. Some people need to stay there. You know, you mess with someone who's been in heaven very long and you bring them back, you may not want to be too near them too long. You won't be their best friend anymore.
That's true.
Psalms 139 in the Amplified version, that's the female version, has more things to say, which are really good things. Hallelujah. Psalm of David. O Lord, you have searched me throughout and you have known me. You've known my down sitting and my uprising, and you understand my thoughts afar off. You sift and search out my path and my lying down, and you are acquainted with all my ways. For there's not a word in my tongue still unuttered, but behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. You have beset me and shut me in behind and before, and you have laid your hand upon me. Your infinite knowledge is too wonderful for me. It's high above me. I cannot reach it. Where could I go from your spirit, or where could I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, the place of the dead, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning or dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, verse 10, even there shall your hand lead me and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me and the night shall be the only light about me. Listen to this, even the darkness hides nothing from you. But the night shines as the day. To God, the night shines just like day.
Right.
To him, darkness and light are both alike.
That's right.
Can't hide from God in the dark.
Amen.
He said, for you did form my inward parts. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I will confess and praise you, for you are fearful. For you have made me fearfully and wonderfully made. For the awful wonder of my birth, wonderful are your works, and that my inner self knows right well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being formed in secret and intricately and curiously wrought, as I embroidered with various colors in the depths of the earth, a region of darkness and mystery. Your eyes saw my unformed substance in your book. All the days of my life were written before they even took shape, when I as yet was none of them. In other words, God said, you know all my days, all my thoughts, every intricate part of me, as though you knew everything from the beginning to the end, because he does, before I ever lived one day.
Amen.
How precious and weighty, verse 17, also are your thoughts to me, O God. How vast is the sum of them. And if I should count them, they are more in number than the sea. When I awake, I am still with thee. Praise God. Thank God. God's got a wonderful plan here.
Yeah, he does.
God's got a wonderful plan. God is working his plan.
Yes, he is.
And his plan is working.
Yes.
Thank you, Jesus.
Do you hear what I'm saying? God has a wonderful plan. God has put in place a wonderful plan. God is working his plan, and his plan is working. The Bible says to those who love God, they need to know this, that all things are working together for good to those who love God.
Amen.
Right?
God.
Say with this, with me, say everything,
everything
is turning out amazing.
It's turning out amazing.
And what's not amazing is still turning.
It's still turning.
It's still turning, see? Because it's all going to turn out amazing.
Oh,
amen.
Hallelujah.
Someone says, well, I don't know about all this and all that and all that, and you know, and you're this and you're that, and who your mom and daddy was and the part of the world that you're from, and you're not really educated, and you know, what could you really do? And you think about writing a book or writing poetry or thinking about being a famous ball player, and who do you think you are? You just from so and so. Well, I read over here, I was the son of God.
Thank you.
That's right.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
Amen.
Born from above.
Amen.
Earth is not even my home.
No.
I'm just passing through. My heavenly origin's heaven. I live on Paradise Street. Glory to God. Well, that's who we are. I like the words of Theodore Roosevelt. I know that you've heard him. It says, but it's not the critic who counts, nor the man who points out how the strong man will stumble, or where the doer of deeds could have done them better. The credit belongs to the man who's actually in the arena, whose face is marred by dust and sweat and blood, who strives valiantly, who errs and comes up short again and again. Because there is no effort and without error of shortcoming, who does actually strive to do the deeds, who knows great enthusiasms and the great devotions, and who spends him or herself in a worthy cause, who at best knows in the end the triumph of high achievement, and who at the worst, if he or she fails, at least fails while daring greatly, so that their place shall never be with those cold and timid souls who neither know victory nor defeat.
Yeah.
Success will cost you something.
Yes, it will.
It's not free. Success has never attacked anyone.
That's right.
Someone told Brother Copeland years ago, I heard him quote it, it was in a verse, I was in a meeting with him years ago, and he said, a number of years ago, a good friend of his, and he said, now Brother Copeland, God just raised you up and you became a success overnight. He said, well, if it did happen that way, that's the longest night of my life. There is a process. And sometimes we don't experience these things because we're willing to settle for something less.
Yes.
You know, I want to make some of you happy this morning. Amen. I fully intend to aggravate somebody.
Come on.
Right? I wouldn't hang out with someone every Sunday who something wasn't being said that wasn't challenging me.
Okay, come on, preach.
That's right.
Preach.
I didn't come here to fit in.
Come on, that's right.
You're not here to fit in.
All right.
You're here to stand out.
Uh-huh.
That verse said that we are peculiar people.
Yes, right.
People think you're odd. You're supposed to be.
Yes.
Actually, we're not odd. Actually, we're the normal ones.
Right. Amen.
Huh? I'm Pentecostal.
Right.
I'm Baptistal. I'm Jesus-costal. I'm not demonized. I'm Jesus-ized.
That's right.
Huh?
That's right.
It's not a denomination.
Come on.
It's a family.
Yes.
It's called the family of God.
Yeah.
Man, I can have a good time with my Baptist brethren.
Yeah.
And my Methodist brethren,
yeah.
Sister. Why? They're the family of God.
Yeah.
Pick them. I mean, if we can have fellowship around the blood of Jesus,
right,
who gave his life for us all, for all, including Billy Graham, has fallen short of the glory of God.
Yeah.
Every man, woman, and born child had to cry out for Jesus to become born again.
That's right.
He is the door.
Yes.
He's not a way.
He is
the way.
Amen.
He doesn't know a way.
Yeah. Right.
He can't describe to you the way. He's not becoming the way. He's not the great I used to be. He's not the great I want to be. He's not the great maybe I will be. He is the great I am. The I am, the I am. And so the reason sometimes we're willing to settle is because, or have less, is because we're willing to settle for less. Sometimes the world has too much of an influence in our thinking and our actions. And God wants us to come up higher with him. In other words, so we won't dumb down. We don't want to dumb down to the world.
Right.
Keith Moore used to have a series, and it's called, If It Ain't Quite, It Ain't Right. Don't settle.
Amen.
Don't settle for the best that God has for you.
Right.
If you're single and you're contemplating marriage, don't settle. Find the person.
Right.
Pray for the person. God has the right person who fits your life, and you fit their life. And your callings will blend together, and you'll become one together with him.
Yeah.
Don't settle. Don't try something. Don't try marriage because you're bored. Huh? What looks beautiful today might look like 40 miles of bad road, you know, the day after you say I do when you look over in the morning. He or she, I'm just saying. Right? Well, God has something better. He has the best. Jesus came bringing the best. He is the best. Like I said, he didn't come to give you a better life. He came to give you life. Right? Actually, you'll have to interpret that John 10:10, which is a wonderful scripture, but you got to interpret it in truth. He never said, I've come to give you a better life. In other words, a better quality of life. Sure, it could include that, but that's not the essence of those words, life. He said, I've come to give you life, which means I've come to give you my nature, which means I've come to give you my divine nature, which means I've come to give you Zoe life, right. The life and the nature of God. Not a better life. Amen. I've come to give you my life. Amen. And you can't have my life until you lay down your life. Amen. And when you lay down your life and you take up his life, and now you're only living his life. It's not two wheels. God's putting together and working two into one. It's two. This, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 6:17, he that's joined to the Lord has become one spirit. One translation has said has become a single spirit.
Yes.
Or the word joined is also the word laminated. He who's come to the Lord is laminated. Substances that is glued so tightly together that you can't separate them, or you know, from one end from the other. Where does God end and you begin? Nobody knows. When the devil comes to harass you, he doesn't know who he's harassing.
Right.
Because if you're in Christ and you stay hid in Christ, all he can see is Christ.
Yes.
Amen.
If you'll just stay in him,
yes.
Christ
Amen.
In you, the hope of glory.
Yes.
Christ in you.
Right.
God does not operate in this world independently of you. He operates through you and by you and through you. The church has done a pretty good job in the last 10, 15, 20 years of teaching the message finally of who we are in Christ. But that's not the ultimate message. The ultimate is not just he's in you. The message is Christ out of you, through you. He'll never do a great work through you until you know who you are in him, until he's in you. But he doesn't want to just be in you. He doesn't want you just to be aware that Christ is within. He wants you to release the Christ, the anointed one, the one that smears upon, the one that sets the captive free. He wants to be the one that is set free in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
And so you are fearfully, wonderfully made. So sometimes we have to get to the place where we just get fed up. We get sick and tired of being sick and tired. And if you're not at that place, I'm not talking to you this morning. I'm just watering the seed some more. But someone here is tired.
Yeah.
But I don't mean physically tired. I mean, you're just tired. Can I say something? And you can say, you'll have a reaction to it, whether you probably won't say it, but you'll think it. I'm bored myself. People get bored with church. You don't think so? Count the empty chairs around you. You know why? Because they think what they're doing is more fun or better than what God's got going on. I always said that there's a third option. No one likes this, but it's just the way it is. If you never got to go to heaven and see heaven, if you're ever there, you never want to leave. But most people live their life so carnal that if there was a third option, they would take it. If it wasn't torment or pain or death, whatever, they say, well, I can just go fish, or I can go play ball, or I can just go bowling, or I can just do whatever. And now, you know, because, you know, if you don't want to come to church now, you think you want to go to heaven? Christians or whatever you would call them would pick the third option.
Yeah.
Right? It's just like when I got started in the ministry, when I knew I was called, I thought, well, I can't stand to read. And I thought, I wonder how that's going to work in the ministry. I mean, it was a big deal for me. I thought, ministry, I don't like to read. I don't want to read. I'm sick of reading.
Yep.
And he said, go to Rhema. I thought, I bet you have to read if you go there. You do. You kind of do. You can listen, but a lot of your grade is, did you read the assignment? And you're on an honor system. I could just put yes when I didn't. Could you imagine go to Bible school and just tell a lie? That didn't make sense, right? So I just made a decision. I'm going to learn to love to read.
Yes.
Yeah.
And everything in me recoiled when I said it. Oh. You know what my pastime now is?
Reading.
What you turn your attention to will become your desire.
That's right.
Amen. That's right. I mean, if I could sell all my books, the books that you can touch and those I bought on Kindle, and I could get the price for them, I could buy me a nice vehicle, cash. Right. If you told me that 25 years ago, I'd have laughed at you, said, you are nuts. You're absolutely off your rocker. If you think I'll spend thousands of dollars in books and have a library of what? Cars or, you know. No, books. So God has a plan and God's working his plan. And his plan's working. Okay? People who don't expect much are seldom disappointed.
That's right.
So my prayer for you today is that you'll become possessed. No, not with the devil, but with a holy dissatisfaction.
Amen.
Right?
Right.
The reason I was talking about, bored may not be a good word, but it's just a higher expectation. Because we all know in us, because we all have God in us, we all know there's more.
Yeah.
We all know there's a lot more.
Yeah.
We know that we haven't seen or even touched anywhere near the fullness of who God is and what he has.
Right.
And so, since the church sometimes, and since the church hasn't entered into a place, then we created something. And we can become so good at it that we don't even need the Holy Ghost to do it. He could take a vacation and go to the beach for a few days while we do church. You can have professional music and professional musicians that don't know God from come on from Sikkim.
That's right.
Right?
Amen.
And it'd be wonderful music. And you could enjoy the music. But it doesn't mean it's anointed.
Right, that's right.
You see what I'm saying?
Yes.
And so we can go through the motions of church and what we could call have church, but God has never called us to have church.
That's right.
He called you to be the church.
That's right.
Amen. He called you to carry something.
Yes. Amen.
You're supposed to be infected.
Yes.
You're supposed to be a carrier.
Yes.
You should be infected with something.
That's
you should
right.
be contagious with something.
Yes.
That when you get around people, they'll change. When you walk in the room, you should change the atmosphere if it needs changing. You are the thermostat, but you also have the power supply, and it's on the inside of you. Do you have the Holy Ghost? Everyone says, oh yeah, I have the Holy Ghost. The better question is, does he have you? There's a world of difference between you having him and him having you. Y'all don't shout me down there, because that was some really good stuff right there. Does he have you? Are you yielded? Can he get you up if he needs to at 4 in the morning? I know we always paint Christianity as something's got to be hard like 4 in the morning. Sometimes God gets you up early in the morning because he's competing for the day. You ever had that happen? I mean, I always say it's like, for me it's like this. I wake up and it's one of those days where you don't know what day of the week it is. Your brain's kind of coming. You ever been there? And it takes a few seconds, hopefully not an hour or two, but it takes a few seconds or a minute or two for you to determine what day of the week it is. Is that anyone happen to anybody other than me? Good, I feel normal. And sometimes in those very few seconds, God will interject, drop into your spirit a thought, an idea, a suggestion, an instruction to you.
Yes.
See, a lot of times we pray when you're asking God to answer you and you're asking God to help you. You're asking God to deliver you. You're asking God to meet a need. But what sometimes we forget is that with that request, God also wants to talk to you. I don't know how he talks to you, but most time when I ask him a question, he doesn't just answer the question. He does answer it, but the way he does it with me is he asks me about 14 questions. When I was really young, I used to try to answer all of them. Now I just like, oh, no. I just get there quick as I can. And I realize he's answered my question in the question. So if I get good at just listening. So it took a little while for me to listen. And I'm still trying to get better at listening. Prayer should be, it should be a dialogue, not just a monologue. God has something to say. The King of the universe, the King of kings, the Lord of lords, the creator, the owner of the earth. It's wanting to talk with you. He has a plan for you. He knows every little intricate detail of it. And the Holy Ghost is the one who lives on the inside of you. One day in heaven, there had to be something like a board meeting. And the only ones who know everything about your life from day one to the day that you leave the life is three people: God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. Well, where's God? Well, He's in heaven. Well, where's Jesus? He's sitting on the right-hand side of God. Well, where's God the Holy Ghost? He's living on the inside of you. So it's kind of like we have the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And the only one who knows the plan who's on earth is the Holy Ghost on the inside of you. I suppose he might have been taking the notes. I suppose he probably took the notes of the business meeting, so he knows the plan for your life. He knows if you're ahead, if he knows you're behind, if he knows you're on the right road or the wrong road, because he was there in the board meeting and he was taking the notes. So when he prays in line with the will of God for your life, and he knows exactly where you are. It doesn't matter too much if you're lost, because the Bible says even if that we follow God, if we miss God, God can come and find you. It doesn't matter where you are. I've been lost many times on the road. I've been off, and like any man, I didn't ask for no details. I didn't stop and ask for directions, because I'm never lost. Right? Now, this was the day before we had smartphones, and so before I could ask Siri, you know, where I was and where she at and all this kind of stuff that we can ask, and she puts us on the right road. I'm talking about the days where you was trying to figure it out, or follow a map or do map question, read while you're driving, which is very dangerous, by the way. And so she said, well, I think we're lost. Why don't you stop and ask directions? I said, I know where I'm at. I know where I am. I'm on planet Earth. Pretty sure about the state. I know I'm on planet Earth. Don't need any directions. But sometimes we do need directions. So it doesn't really matter how far you get off. As soon as you determine that you're off, you can turn around and go the other way. You might be an hour out of your way, but as soon as you go back in the other direction, you are now headed in the right direction. So your life is taking a few detours. We'll join the club. So you made some bad decisions. We'll join the club. Well, you said some things and did some things, and you caused some missteps that has changed your life. That's right. And we ought to stop doing some of that stuff, because we have the wisdom of God on the inside of us. We have the Creator on the inside of us. We have the one who knows all and is all. He's living and He's great and He's living greatly on the inside of us. So we don't have to take all the missteps. And when you get a little bit older, something about when you get over 50. I don't know what 50 did to me, but 50 was a landmark to me. 50, I realized I was mortal. 50, I realized, look at there. Ed Cole, I don't know if you knew who Ed Cole, he's in heaven now, but he said after 50, some of the garnishings wear off. So in other words, you may not say this beautifully. You may not build up to it. You may just come in there and just tell them just like that right there. I mean, the garnishings just kind of come off, and it just kind of, there it is. But don't take it personal if we do that. We just realize we ain't got that much time left. So we got something we got to tell you while there's any time down here. So maybe we're not out of time. Maybe you're listening out of time. So just catch up with the conversation. Just catch up with the conversation. Just catch up with the conversation. There's going to be a generation alive when Jesus comes. You do realize that, don't you? There will be a generation that's going to be here. The Bible tells us that there's going to be a catching away. There's going to be a rapture. We're going. You say, well, I don't believe it's coming. Well, you can stay. You can have what you say. Me, I'm going out on the first load. I'm not waiting for the second, third. I'm happy to know that God's got some other chances for you to go. But, man, I ain't going through none of that junk. I'm going to the river of life. I'm going to go over and eat a strawberry long cake. Long cake. Ain't nothing short in heaven. I want some long cake with some calories. I want some barbecue in heaven. I'll eat it with all my Jewish brethren when they find out they can eat it. Hallelujah. I want it dripping in barbecue in the river of life. I'm going to float on my back, and I don't think you even got to go like this to do nothing. I just think you got to think float, and someone hand you a rib about this long, and you'll be like Woody Woodpecker. Back and forth and back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. And you'll be so glad that you didn't go to hay, y'all. Right? And then they'll say, where's the corn? And they'll bring out the corn cob, and it'll be about 18 inches long. And they'll stuff in real butter. We ain't worried about no carbs, and we ain't worried about no cholesterol. Stick it in the butter. Salt it up. Right? Salt don't affect us no more. The Bible says salt's good. We're the salt of the earth. Butter and salt. You want to go to hell? I'm not going to hell. I'm going to stick my corn cob 18 inches long into butter and into salt, and I'm going to do the Woody Woodpecker again. Hallelujah. The Bible said we're going to do that for 7 years. We're going to have a feast with the family of God for 7 years. 7 years buffet. 7 year fellowship. This kind of gets into my interpretation of Revelation. But then we come back to the earth and there's going to be a great battle. We come back on horses because we've eaten so much, that's the only thing that can hold us. And it won't be no little pony horse. It's going to be some Clydesdale to hold us up. It's going to be some of them old Budweiser horses. The only thing that will hold us up, we are all coming back full gospel. 7 years. 7 years. 7 years. Of course, the devils are going to tremble. They just see one of us. Praise God. We got good times ahead. Somebody say good times. And you're going to be so glad that you didn't quit.
Amen.
You're going to be so happy you didn't quit.
Right.
You know, it's okay. Sometimes I do this. Sometimes I feel like quitting. Can you be honest? Has anyone ever feel like quitting?
Yeah.
You know, all disappointment is failed expectation.
Yeah.
You thought it was going to be like this, or you thought by now it would have already happened.
Yeah.
I should be preaching to thousands of people.
Well,
I am actually.
That's right.
At least about 40 different countries right now. That means the message overshadows your feet.
Right.
That's right.
Amen. The United States is our greatest listening audience. Other than that, it's Australia. Austria. I don't know why. I think it's because they like to hear rednecks talk. Hey, y'all. Say hi to Mama now. But I hope it's some of the content of the message. Huh?
Amen.
See, there's something in you that's stirring.
Right.
You may not have noticed, but there's something in you stirring. God did not place you here just to live a natural life. We have a natural life. We live a natural life, but we don't live it naturally.
Amen.
We have stuff that we do. We have children. We raise children. You know, we cook and you clean and you shop and you kill weeds and cut grass and trim and you do all these things that you got to do and you wash pots and pans, you know, and you clean the windows on the inside and the out. I can't stand spring cleaning. Every time I hear that, I think we ought to have some people hired. I can't stand that kind of stuff. My wife probably wished I had been a carpenter. I said, Jesus was a carpenter. You married to him? I don't build nothing. And so, but you know, there's not just a natural life, it's a supernatural life.
Amen.
God has something just, he's created just for you in mind. There's people that only you are going to reach. Only you're going to reach. Only you. There's people that you're going to minister to that you'll meet in heaven that you have already ministered to. If it hadn't been for the contact of you and that person that day, they would spend eternity in damnation.
Yes. Yes.
You are carrying something from the kingdom.
Amen.
You are infected. But it's something how the enemy works, and he tries to break our focus. I want to hit this thing focus just a moment because we've talked about it, but it needs to be talked about again.
Amen.
I like to use the word focus as an acronym of the F stands for follow, the O stands for hour, the C stands for course, the U stands for until, and the S for successful. Follow our course until successful. When I think about a focus, I always think about the eagle. The eagle. The eagle, the symbol here in the United States of America. Think about the eagle. You know what that says? When they're hunting their prey in the area, they have such focus, such pinpoint focus, that they can see up to 5 kilometers or 3 miles, the most intricate details. If it's a mouse, they could count the hairs on the mouse from 3 miles away. And they let nothing break their focus.
Amen.
The reason we're not succeeding, even when we embrace the truths that we're talking about, is because we've allowed something or someone to come in to break our focus. That's all the enemy has.
That's right.
He has nothing else.
That's right.
I mean, when you talk to him about Jesus and use his name, what's he going to use? He doesn't have a name above the name. Right? He has a name, but he never has a name above your name that you have, the very name of Jesus.
Right.
Have you ever thought about the scripture when Jesus asked him, he says, you're out there, so tell me, who are they saying I am? And they're saying, well, you know what, some say you're Jeremiah, some of them you're saying you're John the Baptist, you've come back. Others say, you know, you're this prophet, or you're that prophet. He says, well, I'm none of those, but who do you say that I am? And of course, Peter, you know, he's the one who was always talking, and he said, well, you're the Messiah. You're the Son of God. You're the Son of Christ. And Jesus said, flesh and blood did not reveal that to you, but my Father which is in heaven.
Amen.
And then he revealed to Peter who he was.
That's right.
So you'll never know who you are till you know who he is.
That's right.
He said, who do you say that I am? Because if you'll know who I am, you'll know who you are.
Right.
Because that's who you are. See, your last name is what your last name is, but really your last name really should just be Christ, the anointed one.
Right,
yeah. I'm Eric Christ.
Amen. Amen.
Now, don't mix that up and saying, oh, he said he's Jesus. No, I didn't say that. But you do need to understand that God made you just as close in his image to the Godhead as he could possibly make someone.
Amen.
Adam was such wisdom that he could actually name every vegetable and plant and animals based on their characteristics of what they look like.
Amen.
He gave such intellect that even when he sinned and when he died, it took him 930 years to die after partaking of the fruit because he didn't know how to.
Amen.
The oldest man in the Bible, you know who he is? He lived to be 965 or 969 years because they don't know how to die. When God told Moses, your time is through, and life had been short, and he said, go up to the mountain. Joshua will take over. He'll be your successor. Come up to the mountain, die, and come with me. The Bible says that 120, that Moses' natural forces were not abated. His eye was not dim, and he went up to the mountain. He didn't take an electric chair up there. He went up there, and God said, die. He had to ask him how. I don't know how. He has such life in him. Jesus come to give you life, not a better life of the kind that you're living, not just a payday, not a better Friday, huh? Not a better parking space. I'm for better parking spaces, but most of us Americans need to walk a little bit. Some of us need to work the worst parking space. Yeah, the furthest away from the door or the exit, right? Y'all don't shout me down. I know that wasn't that popular. But anyway, in other words, we might need a little exercise.
Yeah.
Now, I don't do it a lot because I read a scripture that says body exercise profit a little. So if I'm just going to get a little out of it, I ain't going to spend a lot of time doing it. Let's move off that scripture real fast. Anyway. Well, so we don't want to break our focus. And that's all the enemy has is a ploy to break your focus. And I read this a number of years ago, and I wrote it down. I don't know who wrote it, who said it, who coined it. If you like it, I guess I did. It's like it said, potential. This is what potential is without focus. It's like being an octopus with roller skates. You can be sure there's going to be plenty of movement, but you don't know what direction it'll be in. But there's going to be a lot of movement. Yale University did a survey in 1953. They asked the people four questions. Do you set goals? Do you write them down? Do you have a plan? Number four, three of them said yes. 20 years later, they got with the same people that they did the survey with. 3% were successful. The 97% were still working it out. So it seems like focus matters.
Yeah.
It seems like having a definite plan matters.
Yes.
It seems like vision matters.
Yes.
See, we're not to possess vision. Vision is to possess you. Something that wakes you up in the morning. Something that you can't get off your mind. Something that you do on Monday mornings that you're not excited about, or that you're so excited about that you don't care what day of the week it is. Most people live for the weekend. Because they see, I'm away from this, and I get to go live my life. That's sad.
It is sad.
Because that's not what God created for you, to live in drudgery 5 or 6 days a week to get to your one happy day.
That's right.
Come on, try. And the very thing that he has for you, you may not even be aware of it. I would never have done what I'm doing. Never, 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 never would I have done this. Never. You know, I'm like a lot of little boys. I'm going to be a race car driver. I want something, you know, power tools. You know, I'm just, whatever. I, you know, at 7, I didn't say, I want to be a preacher. And all through school, I just figured it out. I had some connections into the power company. I thought that looked like a pretty good lifestyle if I do that. And if I just, you know, pay a little attention in school, which I didn't want to. I mean, I was paying attention just not to what they were talking about. I wasn't as interested in Zeus and the Greek gods. I saw some goddesses, and I had some interest there. But Zeus and all that, I just like, you know, I don't know how I'm going to use that in life. And so if I didn't see a use in it, I just wanted to cut it off. Goddesses, I had a plan. But anyway, and I'm married to goddess, sadly. Thank you, Jesus. And we'll leave that right there where it is. And so I said, well, I'll just use my connections to get on with the power company. And that didn't work out. I hurt myself when I was 17 years old, and I had a curvature in my spine, and I got the little x-ray, and he said, ooh, we can't hire you. You got this little thing going on right here. And I thought, oh, my gosh, I hadn't got any other plan. I didn't plan for anything, but God was still working his plan.
That's right.
See, even when it looks like nothing's working, God's still working his plan.
Yeah.
Even though it looks like it's not working out, God is still working his plan. He's ahead of you and he's behind you. The Holy Spirit is a guide. He doesn't just walk behind, he walks ahead. Well, you say God only walks ahead, not this Holy Spirit. He walks all the way around you. He's got your front, he's got your back, and he's got your sides. He's already walked this out. And so when you get into next Thursday, most of you don't even know what you're going to eat next Thursday. But the Holy Spirit knows what you're going to eat 10,000 Thursdays from now. If we still call it Thursday 10,000 years from now. Yeah. Amen.
Amen.
He knows everything Psalms 139 talked about. And so he's working out his plan. So the enemy comes and he realizes that you're the Son of God. He realizes the life of God's in you. He realizes you have a name that's above every name. He realizes that you're the loved of God. So all he knows how to do is just change your focus. Yeah. And he's really good at it. Let's just be honest. He is great at it. Sometimes it just takes somebody else.
Right.
Sometimes it's just people who live in your home.
Right.
Or your neighbor.
Yeah.
Throwing some things into the situation, the dynamic that just takes you off over here. And now you're over here putting out a fire that you didn't even start.
Right.
Sometimes we start our own.
Right.
I found out a little something works for me sometimes. It really bothers me when things are working too good for too long. Because I know the odds and percentages. I know Satan's, you know, he's got something in mind. So what I do is I go ahead and start something myself. At least I know why it started and what's going on. I'm the one who started it. Huh? You know, we give too much attention to Satan. Because really, he really only has 4 mentions in the New Testament. Other than Revelation explaining the end, he only has 4 entries into the New Testament. I always said if this was a playwright, he got a very small part. He only has 4 entries. So in the whole New Testament, he's only mentioned 4 times. He's not the main character. The whole central figure of the Bible is Jesus from the beginning to the very end. Right? And you're in him. You know, you look a lot better in Christ than you do out of him. So I would just say, won't you just stay in him? You want to be liberated and come out and be your own man. Oh, shut up. Shut up. You don't want to be your... See, that's someone who hadn't died. That's someone who they go to the altar, but they don't let the altar keeper kill them. Stay there until you're dead. The best funeral you'll ever go to is yours. Where you went to your funeral and said, I can't do this. I can't work it out. My way's not working. I'm sick of doing it my way. My way's bringing no means to an end. Everything I do, I can't be satisfied with this or that person or this job or whatever. Everything I put my hand to, eventually this falls apart. Good. I'm glad you finally came to that realization. Now stop it. And let him. Let him. He's the power and he's the might and he's the strength. It's his life in you. John 15 tried to explain it to us. It's his life in you. You're planted in him. He's not planted in you. He's not drawing strength from you. Right? Every time I'm reminded this every time I do a little work around the house and I cut and I do a little pruning. Last year I cut a bunch of limbs off the tree. The bottom limbs keeps growing. I wouldn't cut them off. Shoom, shoom, shoom. I threw them in the ditch. And 3 days later, all those green leaves were no longer green. Now, they were strong. You couldn't go out there and break the limb. They were only about that big, but they'd been tough to do because they still had a lot of vitality in them. But they were no longer connected to the source. And since they didn't have the source, they didn't have the juice. And since they didn't have the juice, they didn't have the life. And since they didn't have the life, they couldn't produce the greenery. Since they didn't have the life, they couldn't produce the fruit. And since they didn't have the source, they couldn't be who they were created to be. And I looked in the ditch and I said, you're brown in 3 days. And Jesus talked to your life about he's the vine and you're the branch and about staying connected to him. Because when you stay connected to him, whatever's pushing up through him is pushing up through you. Whatever life he has in him, flowing through him is flowing through you. If he has health in him, you have health in you. If he has wisdom and strength in him, guess what you have in you? Wisdom and strength. If he has might and power and dominion flowing through him, that's what's flowing in you right now at this moment. And all heaven knows it and all hell knows it and heaven rejoices and hell is scared. They're scared the hell of it.
Yeah.
Did someone say, did he say that? I did. And so all he can do is try to change your focus. But all we have to do is stay fixed on him. All we have to do is stay fixed. Follow your course until successful. So here's four things that you need to know. You need to know that you've been endowed with a unique gift. That you are the representation of Christ that has been placed inside you to be revealed through you, which is Galatians 4:19. You've been endowed with a unique gift. There's no one like you. No one like you. If there's nothing you left, people get in a car wreck, and even if it catches on fire, if there's enough, they'll take your dental records. If there's any DNA left on you, they can tell the world who you are. No one made like you. Number two, you were selected by God to be placed on this earth at the time in history. At this time in history is when God selected you to be here. You could have been born 1,000 years ago. If the world goes on, you could be born 1,000 years from now. Don't think you will, but you could have been. God chose you to be at this time in history right now. You're kind of like Esther in Esther 4:14. You were born for such a time as this. You are a generation impactor. You are a carrier of the gospel. You are infected. You are a carrier of revival on the inside of you. Number three, some of you struggle with this and some of you don't, so I'm going to throw it out there. You are not a mistake. Your parents might have told you you was. It might have surprised them. They may not have planned it. But you're not a mistake. You're here. You're at the right time, at the right place. Called by God, chosen by God. Before the foundation of the world, Ephesians 1:4 said. Number four, you're God's champion in whatever area he's placed you in. You need to see yourself and call yourself and remind yourself that you are a champion. Your name may be Joe Bob or Earl, but you are Joe Bob Champion Earl.
Right. Amen.
I don't care what they call you. You're the champion of God. You need to know this, and this will be very important to you. It's taken me years to know this. When I tell you, you're going to say, well, I couldn't believe you didn't know this. But this is the way it works. This is the way it works for all of us. Every seed, every plant, everything that God gives has a cycle to it.
Yes.
He'll give a person an idea. He'll give them a dream. There's a call. He puts it in their heart. There's a time that that seed dies. And they become confused because it seemed like the dreams did. But there's a time in the process that parallels with the seed that you put into the ground, a corn, a tomato, an okra, whatever it is. You plant the ground, it has to die. The scripture said Jesus was the seed that had to die. The Bible says if they would know what they were doing, they would never have crucified the Lord of glory. People a lot of times say that the cross was a place of defeat. I understand what they're saying, but I don't even like that statement. Is the cross God's plan? Was the cross God's plan? Did Jesus know that? And then they say, well, Jesus tried to get his way out of it. Really? They said, oh, yeah, he cried with great tears and tried to get out of it. He said, but nevertheless, my will. That's wrong doctrine. All he ever talked about of what his life, why he was here, how long he would be here, and how he would leave. He knew the plan and purpose for his life. His plan was to live and to die for us. What disturbed him so much, although he didn't look welcome to the death in the whole process, was he had never known ever what it was like, heaven or earth, to ever be separated from the Father. And that was more than he can imagine. That's what caused him great tears. If there's any way to do this without me being separated from you, but if there's not, be it according to your will. He wasn't trying to get out of the death. That was his purpose. He'd never been separated from the Father. And because God turned his back on Jesus means he'll never turn his back on you. God turned his back one time. He'll never turn it on you. So you're not a mistake. You are God's champion. So here's the cycle. You're going to have a season of struggles. You could talk about Moses. You could talk about Joseph. You could talk about Ruth. You can talk about David, whoever you want to talk about. You're going to have a season of struggles. You need to know that. In that season of struggles, there are things that you are going to endure. My first week at Rhema 20-something years ago, Brother Hagin stood up during orientation and took us to 2 Timothy, I think it was. Was it chapter 2 or chapter 3? And the whole week of orientation, he was talking about endure hardness as a soldier that Paul was teaching to Timothy. Brother Hagin took a whole week to try to talk us out of the door before he started. He thought, if I can talk you out of the ministry, he said, and you won't stay in it, you wouldn't have stayed anyway. So he took a whole week just to try to talk us out of it. Paul told in that epistle, he told Timothy, he said, you will have to endure hardness as a soldier. Because a soldier, when he goes to war, does not go at his own expense, but he does not go to please himself. He goes to please the one who enlisted him.
Right.
And we are in the age of the last days where people are self-pleasers.
That's true.
And their thoughts about themselves. If you don't think so, check Facebook out to see how many new update and photos of myself and their selfie sticks. Look at me. Look at me. Look at me. Who you thinking about? Me. Got really quiet in this Presbyterian church, didn't he?
Amen.
He said, the end times, men will be lovers of themselves.
That's what I'm saying.
Paul said, I'm not here for me. So he said, there'll be a season of struggles. There'll be things to endure. You'll be tested and you'll be tried. Did you know that?
Amen.
You'll be tested and you'll be tried. This is like an old Ford that I used to have. It was tested and it was tried. I tested it in my 16th year with my driver's license. When I got 2 miles away from my mother, from the house. That Ford was put through it. And then my brother, he had a 73 Grand Prix with a 404 barrel. And when he went into the Navy, I got that car. When he had that car, it was in the garage all the time. And my mother would take it to the garage mechanic, and she said, Gary, she said, it just seems like this Grand Prix never stays running right. He said, Miss West, he says, your son, Chris, he said, yeah, he said, when's he going to Navy? She said, in about a month. He said, I think your car will be all, it's all going to work out in about a month. In other words, let him quit being the driver and this car thinks it's going to be fine.
Yep.
Well, I put that car through it. And in the process, I had a few fender benders. But I didn't fix it because it wasn't worth fixing. I had one of the ugliest cars in the world. It was a 69 Ford Fairlane. Four doors, medium blue, white on the top, every 16-year-old's dream. I was doing power slides on a dirt road after, you know, on a Sunday, where I told my mother I was going to so-and-so's church, and I didn't go, and I was just cutting donuts. And I came around this curve, and I met someone who was doing what I was doing, who was 1 year ahead of me in school. And we collided. And I got his front left, and he got my back quarter panel. And then I had to go home and explain that. And he did too. Well, she says, well, if you can't fix it, you're going to have to drive it that way. So they took crowbars and everything and they pulled it out. And she says, now drive it. Of course, it all rusted and had holes all in it. But I had a few dates because I was on the car I had. And I knew this for a fact. If any girl was going out with me, it wasn't for my car. Couldn't be for the car. So there is a time where you're tested and tried. And then you're going to go through a season where your potential is hidden. That what God's placed in you, even you don't see it.
Amen.
And certainly those around you a lot of times don't see it.
Yep.
But sometimes those around us see more than we see ourselves because we can be our own worst critic.
That's right.
Did you know that?
Amen.
You can be your own enemy. Look, quit putting water in your own boat. Life will dump enough in itself.
That's right.
So you'll go through a season of struggles, a season where your potential's hidden. Then you'll go through another season where your potential's called out.
Amen.
God will call it out.
Amen.
Then you'll go through another season when this called out potential is revealed and refined. In the process, you'll have to learn to be patient in this process. You'll have to remember the scripture in Philemon 1:6, which says, God will complete the good thing which he began in you, because God has a plan and God's working his plan, and it's a good plan and it's working, and all things are working together to those who love God.
Right.
It's working.
Right.
It's working.
Amen.
Come on, say it with me. Say, it's working.
It's working.
So sometimes they don't see what you know. Sometimes you don't see it yourself.
Right.
Sometimes you don't feel it. You don't feel it. So you need a vision that possesses you. You need a determination to go forward when you don't have the feelings to match it.
Right.
Now, when Brother Wayne comes here from Wales, his ministry is really prophetical a lot. But here's the thing about the prophetical ministry also. I've been in pastor sometimes laughing when they're meeting together and talk about people that come this prophetically, and they begin to speak things to people, and they think God just says the most wonderful, nice things. And a pastor said, he said, I had so-and-so. And I said, yeah, I know that person. They said, yeah, I had him. He said, I said, well, did he give some prophetical words? He said, oh, yes. He said, but what we noticed, my wife and I noticed, is when he was giving his prophetical words and speaking to the people, the information was correct, but the way that he spoke to them, God likes them a whole lot more than we do. I mean, you know, it's like he didn't mention this and this and this and this, this and this and this. But he doesn't, because that's not what he sees. God sees the end result. One of my favorite chapters is Romans chapter 4 about Abraham and Sarah. Except it's not really true. You ever thought about it? Romans 4 is not really true. It says that Abraham was given the promise of God. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but he was strong in faith, giving glory to God. I went over to Genesis and I found me some staggering. And I found some planning.
Yes.
And I found a Hagar over there.
Uh-huh.
There was some staggering and some laying around with some folks you shouldn't have been with.
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah.
But God doesn't even talk about that, does he?
Uh-huh.
He doesn't even mention it. He said, this is my man of power, Abraham, full of power.
Yes.
I'm thinking, these two were laughing in the dirt.
Yes.
And they named their baby Isaac, which means laughter.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It was. It was like a big joke. And Sarah, she laughed. And God says, she's laughing. She said, oh, I'm not laughing. Yeah, you're laughing. Well, it's funny. No, I don't want such a promise. What, do you? Who wants a child when you're 90 to 100? Lord, no. Give me anything. I don't want to be the father of nothing at that time. I don't want to be left alone. So God is going to complete this good work that He began in you.
Yes.
Scripture says, let patience have its perfect work. We don't like that scripture, but it's there.
Yeah.
Let patience have its perfect work. We think patience just means the ability to wait for a long time for God to do anything. You ever watch that movie? What's the name of that movie? Jim Carrey, Almighty God. He gets to be God for a little while. Yeah, him too. And so, Bruce Almighty. Yeah, thank you, though. Have you ever thought if you was God for a day, you'd fix some stuff? How many of you know there's some things that you could fix in your life, like pronto?
Yeah.
How many of you could help change some people if you was God for a day? You say, free will, we're not doing so much today. Free will, maybe tomorrow. Today, we're going to get some things done up in here. I am God, and you will bow. You will do this, you will do this, you will do this, and you'll be like this, and you'll do it right now. Oh, shoot. Trap door. That's why we're not God. That's why He wrote the book, and we just read it. We're not God, right? There is a God, but we're not Him. So I heard a lady minister say, she said, if you're pregnant with a baby, a dream, a destiny, you have to give birth to it. If you have not felt life stir within you for a while, allow the presence and the glory of God to revive it, and then pray for wisdom to carry it. So we decree this over you, that whatever you're carrying for God will not be miscarried.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Let me close this morning to say that encourage you to keep moving forward.
Amen.
And don't listen to the critics, especially the one in your own head.
Right.
Surround yourself with the right people. Surround yourself with people of the right mentality.
Yes.
Of you can. You are, and you will. Look in the mirror and encourage yourself. The Bible, talk to yourself. Someone says, oh, isn't that being senile? No, the Bible says speaking to yourself.
Yeah.
It's correct.
Yeah, that's right.
Anytime God wanted something, He spoke to it.
That's right.
Anytime God wanted to create anything, He spoke it by faith.
Right.
Faith is something that you don't see. If you see it, you don't need faith for it.
That's right.
Sometimes people do it on purpose, but a lot of times people will belittle, and they don't mean to. It's just how they see things. You're in that season, or the potential's hidden, or they're putting you, you're from here, or you're from there. You don't have the education, or by now. Statistically, this is true. Check it out if you want to. Statistically, after the age of 40, people will change their ideas about life.
Yes, they will.
Because they'll begin to settle for stuff. Where in their teen years and 20s, they were in the dreaming stage. That's why Disney was such a great success. It's because of imagination.
Yes.
If you want to be around a big thinker, get around a child. If you want to hear a story, listen to a child. Hmm?
Yeah.
We all had that in us at one time. You know how I got programmed out? They sent us to school and educated us.
Yes.
True. They told us our limits.
Yeah.
The baby elephant is trained that will go into the circus to only walk so many feet. When it is an infant, they put a chain around its foot, left or right, front foot, and it goes, if it's 20 foot, There's a stake and a chain, and it goes there, and it programs them in their mind that you can go 20 foot, stop. And they leave that there for a long period of time until in their mind they succumb to the thought processes, this is how far you'll go. So that when they're a large, full-size elephant in the circus, weighing thousands of pounds and could do great damage, they have already fixed in their minds their limitations and their capabilities of, I can only go 20 foot and stop. But if the elephant missed the class, he doesn't know that, and he'll go 20, 25, and 30. I'm trying to find some people, get to some people whose school hasn't ruined yet.
Yeah.
Or church.
Amen.
See, this is not much church. This is not even church. Jesus mentioned church twice. He mentioned the kingdom dozens, actually over, I think, 107 times. He's kingdom-minded.
Right.
So the elephant goes this far, then he stops because that's as far as he can go. And so we want to reach some people and tell them otherwise. So in closing, don't listen to Satan. Don't let him draw you off focus.
Amen.
The scripture said he is the father of lies.
Right.
Well, now see, if he's the father of lies and he tells you something, that would mean the opposite of that is true.
Amen.
You know, Charles Capps years ago, he was trying to learn this whole thing of faith and words and all that and the creative power and spoke with the tongue. And so he was trying to do it, and he'd get frustrated with it, and he just told God one day, he said, it ain't working out. It's just not working out. I know you no one here ever thought about that, but it happened to me a couple times too. It's just not working out. They're not doing what they're supposed to be doing. It ain't working out. Business ain't working out. Family ain't working out. Kids ain't working out. All crazy. It ain't working out. I'm sick of it. I'm sick of it. Sick of it. It just ain't working out. You ever felt like that? You ever want to have a Winnie the Pooh today?
Yeah.
Get your boat and your jug of honey and just say, leave me alone. You may need oars, you may not. Don't even care where you're going. You don't even care. Just have Winnie the Pooh today. Leave me alone. Someone got on me the other day. I got some of them packages. You know, you've seen them Snickers, them fun size, and a little slip. There's like 10 of them in it. And I ate two of them. Little fun size, and they said, you ain't supposed to be eating sugar. You don't need all that. You don't need all. I said, leave me alone. I said, you had two of them. I said, you don't know how many I wanted. You don't know what I had to do to stop with two of them. Actually, this is a celebration. To celebrate, I'm going to have two more. So don't listen to Satan. He's the father of lies. He'll play a number game on you.
Yeah, he will.
He'll add people and problems to distract you. He'll subtract, if he can, your faith and your hopes and your dreams. He'll multiply the accusers of every time you fail and increase condemnation if he can. And if he will, he'll divide your focus, your energy, your attention, and carry your assignment that you can't take it to full term.
Yeah.
Don't listen to him.
Right.
You're winning on every side. Come on, say, I'm winning on every side. So it's always said that sooner or later, caterpillars become tadpoles, and tadpoles turn into frogs, and eggs turn into chickens, and chickens turn into breakfast, lunch, and supper. It's all good, y'all. See, there is turning, right?
Amen.
Say with me, it's turned out amazing.
Turned out amazing.
And what's not amazing?
What's not amazing?
It's still turning.
Still turning.
See, it's still turning.
Yeah.
Don't pull your seed out of the ground. Because it's still growing.
That's right.
It's still in that process.
Amen.
Keep your mind and your words alert.
Yes.
See, it's the only way you can rule the planet.
That's right.
You can't choose. You can't choose because God said you can't. You cannot choose whether or not you're going to live by words. You can't. You cannot choose whether you're going to live in this planet by words. You can choose what words you're going to live by.
That's right.
But you can't choose whether you're going to live by words. Words are the divine energy, the containers, the power of God spoken into existence. I'm telling you, this thing's turning out amazing. It is turning out amazing. Some of you can't see debt-free. You can't even spell it. Some of you want it, but you don't want to change the habits that's getting you there.
Okay, now, man.
I read a story of a guy this week who was encouraged to open up a checking account or a savings account. God said, I want to bless your storage places. And he didn't have one. So God said, open up a savings account. And he put in there, every week he put in $1. So at the end of the year, he had $52. He said, that's headed nowhere fast. Well, he had $52 more that year than he had the year before. The second year, he had $104. The third year, I don't know because I can't multiply that fast. But anyway, $156. His fifth year, he had $20 million. I don't know the man's name. God put him with a product in a network marketing thing, which I do know something about. I have killed a few cars doing that. And he networked with other people with this idea. And this network went worldwide and went nationwide. And God took him from 52 to 104, right, to 300 and whatever, to over $20 million. And then the next year, it doubled that. And the next year, it doubled that. See, it's not even the word that will change it. I think we've said that wrong through the years. We said the word will change everything, but it won't. I have 23 years of experience of watching the word change, not change a lot of people. It's your attitude about the word. The parable of the sower said the word came to change, but they wouldn't receive it. So it was choked. It came to nothing. The word necessarily will not change anything. It's your attitude of that word, of what it is. And some people here, sometimes you need a new attitude. Huh? Sometimes I need a new attitude. I'm thankful that I have friends in my life and around the globe that sometimes picks up the phone. I had this week 6 people call me. So you all right? Yeah, my one. Well, just had your mom. Like just fine. Well, I don't think it's your mother. No, my mother. My mother's in heaven. She's younger than I am, so if anyone's depressed, I am. She walks through walls, my feet hurt. So it's not that. She's at the river of life, you know, and I got to wash my car. So I'm just like, no, it's not that. And then we met a couple that'll be here in November from Texas that we had never met before. He worked with Benny Hinn and Nancy Harmon and some people. And we just met them with some other pastors. And dear Lord, I think they prophesied to us for on and off for an hour and a half. And I thought, we left and went home thinking, are we that messed up? Do we need that much work? I said, I'm not leaving you. Was you leaving me? No, okay. I was like, I'm not quitting. Was you quitting? No. It's like, wow. But when you took back and you took it in, you thought, sometimes people say, well, you're thinking too big. And then it doesn't work, and then the expectations comes in. That's not it at all. If anyone tells you you're thinking too big, thank you. You're thinking too small.
That's right.
You see, if your savings or paycheck can do it, it's not even the plan of God.
That's right.
If your life savings can do it, you haven't found the plan yet.
That's right. That's
the truth. If all your life savings, you say, well, I have $2 million. You're on the wrong plan.
That's right.
That's the sales tax.
That's right.
Glory.
So it will involve people.
Right.
God's in the people business.
Yes.
And then we reject these things. It's just like revivals. It's just like, if you ever studied revivals, here's a pattern. The people that God used for revival, they always reject the next one. It works that way all the time. You know, Jesus said, you search the scriptures daily because in them you think you're going to find eternal life. And I'm him and stand in front of you and you want to kill me. He said, this is what y'all do for a living. For a living. You study the scriptures and you wear your priestly garbs and all this kind of stuff and all the trappings and you talk of these things and you stand in the pulpit and, you know, Pastor Buzz, you say, you know, have a God. He said, got a head as long as a Shetland pony. He said, and so, you know, just God. He says, and you keep searching the scriptures and he says, and you're looking for eternal life and he's standing in front of you and you don't even know it. So the same people will reject the next move of God.
Right.
Now, I hate to say this, but the word people reject some of the other things now.
Right.
I thought they wrote all the books about you naming, claiming, blabbing, grabbing, saying, and it's like, yes, I'm the president of it right here in this city. Yes. And they're like, well, there was a meeting over there and someone had a gold filling just put in their mouth. That God don't do that. That's the devil. Oh, there's whole books about this now. People I graduated run around the world saying, gold dust, that's not a god. Yeah, the devil always gives out gold and helps people with their teeth. I'd like to get in that service, be honest with you. I've got a couple situations right now. I don't want to go see the man. One is a lot of money. It's two, I don't like the process. Don't you feel defenseless when you're like, that's just a defenseless position, right?
Yeah.
The last time I went, he said, this is serious, son. He said, we need to put you asleep. I said, oh, no. He said, well, why not? I said, you said it's serious. And he said, it is serious. And he said, it might be so serious that I don't know that you, he said, I may have to basically stand on your chest and one in your forehead to get this thing out. And I said, well, if you're that concerned about it, I'm going to stay awake and believe God for you, for me. I said, but I don't want to feel no pain. So load me up with a lot of shots.
Yeah.
Come on, get me.
Right.
And then he got ready to get started. He said, are you ready? I said, yeah. Now, if you feel anything, you let me know. I said, oh, don't worry about that. If I feel pain, you're going to feel pain. Because my leg ain't numb, buddy. You know, I could chew my lip off and don't feel it. but my knee and my leg is still working. And I come up on your backside and you'll know, I think he feels something. Anyway, that kind of got off subject anyway. It's working. It's working. That kid situation, oh, it's working. Them grown kids, it's working. Oh, boy, I tell you, it's working. Wait till them kids come back and want to sit down and talk to you and drink coffee and tell you what, you know, something about God like you don't know it. Did you know God does this? He done that. He told me this. Now that. Did you know God's about to do it? It's like, yeah, we knew that 20 years ago. They come back, start liking you again and think you got some sense. Mom and daddy, they went to university somehow since I left or something, whatever. You'll start liking them almost as like you like the grandchildren, the great-grands. Almost. Not quite as much, but almost. God is good. All the time. Amen?
Amen.
Well, the big God bless you. You're healed in Jesus' name.
Amen.
And I ain't wishing you a better life. Take the life of God with you.
Amen.
And release it on people in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen.